Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. There's Charles W. Chuck Bryant. Jerry's over there, which I don't know if Jerry should be in here for this one.
Why not?
We're talking male puberty. You and I, we're putting on our health class faces.
Yeah.
Both of us got crew cuts for this one. Mm-hmm. You're wearing a whistle around your neck. I'm wearing knee socks and shorts.
Yeah, I was taught, because I was raised in a pretty conservative Southern Baptist home, I was taught this stuff by my...
Preacher?
Nope. They didn't talk about this stuff. That's my point. I was taught in health class.
Oh, yeah.
By my PE teacher, mm-hmm. This lady who seemed to struggle with teaching boys about puberty.
I can't really blame her.
She tried her best, but this is, you know, when the PE teachers had to teach health as well. And I don't think she got into that profession to teach health.
No.
She was like, I like coaching volleyball.
Right.
But I don't like teaching boys about puberty. She seemed very uncomfortable.
Comes with a job, lady. T.S. Well, if you are a gym coach and you're teaching a health class right now and you're using us to teach for you, you owe us some money.
Agreed.
So we're doing a great job so far, if you ask me.
I think so. And this is, you know, I think we have a responsibility because I was raised in that thing where, like, you know, my parents didn't teach me this stuff. So I think it's important. The kids, puberty's tough. It's important to normalize it and that kids know that these changes are happening and what they mean and how they function.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So and I think this is a bit of a service.
It was.
It is.
It is.
Yes.
I was talking like we'd already finished.
Oh, you were hoping we'd already finished.
And this article, by the way, was written by the great Tom Sheave.
Oh, yeah.
Did a wonderful job.
Agreed.
Chuck.
Yes.
Did you know that over the last, like, 150-ish years, the average age of puberty in girls has dropped by, like, 5 or 6 years?
What?
Yeah. So in 1860, the average age of menarche.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Boy,
was
that goes back.
16.6 years old.
Wow.
That's pretty late.
Yeah.
In 2010, it was 10.5 years old.
Wow.
Seems young, right?
It does.
And everybody's like, what's going on? It's probably the milk. Like, there's some horrible stuff going on.
Or they're saying, what's menarche?
Well, menarche is the onset of menstruation for the first time in a girl.
Exactly.
I think that came up in our totem pole episode.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah. So this onset of menarche has decreased by a lot, and a lot of people are alarmed by it. But there are some evolutionary biologists out there who are saying, actually, settle down. We think that this is closer to the normal time when puberty should come on.
Gotcha.
And that, like, 16.6 is way delayed.
Yeah.
And it was actually a relic, a remnant of changes that were brought about by a transition to agriculture. The result of higher infections and poorer nutrition led to a later onset of menarche. Well, it's easy to say, well, the girls start puberty here.
Yeah.
And boys, it's not quite as defined, but they think that probably boys' age of onset for puberty has gone back too as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's, we're going through puberty younger as young boys as well.
Yeah. So even though it is very difficult to say this is when a boy starts puberty, that didn't stop some researchers, especially a guy named Richard Tanner, from trying. He came up with the Tanner scale, which is a scale of 1 to 5 in Roman numerals, and it's all based on the growth of your genitalia and pubic hair.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it's not completely subjective, but it's pretty subjective.
Yeah, and you might have heard of the Tanner scale by seeing the posters in restaurants all around the country.
Yes, right next to the employees must wash hands before returning to work sign.
Exactly. All right, so we're talking about puberty, which is that transition that all kids go through. We're talking about male puberty, of course, in this case.
Just male puberty in this one.
Yeah.
Even though I already talked about female puberty.
Well, we should probably tackle female puberty at some point.
Sure.
For little boys, they generally, like you said, the time has shifted perhaps. But right now, between the ages of 9 and 18 is when it starts through completion, generally.
Typically.
You can start earlier. It can go later.
It can follow different courses.
Sure.
It moves at different speeds in different guys.
Yes, and I'm going to say this a few times. If you are a boy out there and you are going through your changes in puberty at different rates than your friends, that is okay.
Yeah.
You are not a weirdo.
It stinks, but it is very normal.
That's right. And you've heard of the term late bloomer. Mm-hmm. You may just be a late bloomer, and that's okay because you will bloom.
Well, and you might not even be a late bloomer except for this month.
Right, exactly.
Next month, it's kind of like, you know, that horse race that you can do with the spraying the...
Yeah, you squirt the water in the hole in the horse's gallop.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And they kind of move back and forth. That's a lot like puberty.
Yeah, like once you've really got a bead on that water gun, that's when the horse really starts moving.
But practice all you want. You can squirt water anywhere, and it's not going to help accelerate your puberty.
That's right. All right, so what happens? The beginning of puberty, no matter when it starts, is going to get kicked off when a substance called gonadotropin is released. Gonadotropin-releasing hormone is released in the body.
GnRH. That's the one that starts it all.
That's right.
And apparently you have that stuff in your hypothalamus.
Yeah, you've got all these things, hormones in your body just waiting.
Waiting to come in contact with one another, like nitroglycerin coming together, basically. So you've got GnRH in your hypothalamus, and apparently it has to move to the pituitary gland for things to get triggered. So puberty is like a Rube Goldberg-esque process.
Yeah.
So it takes something called GPR54, which is another hormone, to come in contact with gonadotropin-releasing hormone.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, things start up. And
the, that actually... witch's brew, they say.
When that process happens, that's called gonadarchy.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Interesting. I think the reason monarchy was such a funny word to me back when we recorded that, I figured it out all these years later, is it sounds like malarkey.
Yeah.
Which is just a funny word to me.
Right.
Because no one says malarkey, but I think it's a great word.
Right.
So monarchy and malarkey is a little too close for my taste to keep me from laughing, you know?
Sure.
All right. So the stages of puberty, there are generally 5, and they overlap, and it's one just big awkward mess. But you can kind of break it down into 5 stages.
Right.
The first one is going to begin, like we said, around 9 or 10 years old. 9's a little early. 10 is what they would consider normal, I guess. Sometimes it might happen as late as 12 to get things going.
Right. By which time you're like, come on.
Right.
Start.
I just remember being in school and some kids were like a foot taller than other ones.
Oh, yeah.
Like my buddy Jim Issa, who you know, like he had a mustache when he was like 13.
Yeah, I know. I had a friend like that in third grade.
Yeah, it's crazy. So again, different timetables for everybody and it's all okay. So when this GnRH is released in stage 1, your testicles are going to start to mature and grow. Your body, your height, you're going to start growing at about 2 inches per year at this point.
Which is pretty significant.
Yeah. For sure.
Growing 2 inches in a year? When's the last time you did that?
I guess probably when I was like 12.
Probably.
Although I never hit one of those growth spurts like a lot of boys
do. Oh, really?
No.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, here or there.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't
remember. You're just slow and steady wins the race?
Yeah, I don't remember any, like, I remember some of my friends that had, like, their bones would hurt and they would actually have those growing pains.
I never had that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it wasn't, yeah.
But I remember coming back from the summer and a kid would have grown like 6 inches, it seems like, in several months.
Right.
And it just blew my mind because I was,
and like,
I was a late bloomer.
And like drank wine from a deer skin now. Had a little mustache.
Yeah. So, your testicles are growing, and because your testicles are growing, that means their house, the scrotum, is also growing.
And all this is because that gonadotropin-releasing hormone started up.
That's right. And it's no, accident that it starts with gonad, of course. It's all linked.
Right.
Your testicles are growing and maturing at this point, but you're not able to reproduce just yet.
No way.
No, that comes a little later.
And I had a question, like, why aren't we born capable of reproduction? And I thought, like, I would find some stuff on it. All I could find was one single Yahoo Answers question. And everybody was like, what kind of a stupid question is that, basically?
So that got
I'm like,
voted
yeah,
out.
I guess it is kind of a stupid question. But the point is, because you're not capable of taking care of yourself.
Sure.
Therefore, you wouldn't be capable of taking care of a baby.
Yeah.
You have to develop socially, psychologically, and physically.
Yeah, the female body probably couldn't handle childbirth either.
Right.
Five.
So it makes sense to not come out of the womb being capable of sexual reproduction.
Yeah.
It makes sense for that to have to develop at some point.
Sure. Agreed. So also in stage one, you're going to start getting little fine pubic hairs. And,
that is called pubarchy.
Is it really?
Not kidding.
Did you just add archy to anything?
Pretty much. I got ear hair archy. There's all sorts of things that come about.
And you might start to get your first erections at this point. You are not going to have any idea what's going on with your body, but it's going to happen.
Right. Unless you take an advanced health class.
Right. At like 9 years old.
Right.
Or if you have like parents who are comfortable with talking like this.
Or an older brother.
How they should be. Yeah, but boy, sometimes you're getting bad information.
Well, there's, to combat that kind of stuff, there have always been educational films about this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I found one from the 50s called Everybody Changes or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's basically like a track and field coach answering questions from his track and field team.
Like me.
Who all seem like plants, frankly, in this thing.
Well, it's a film.
I guess, still.
Yeah.
But it's pretty good. It's on our podcast page, yeah.
Oh, cool.
For this episode.
All right, so that's stage one. You enter stage two. around 12 or 13, your testicles are still a-growing.
Yeah, so that's the thing. And they grow faster and most prominently first.
Right.
That's like the sign that you're in puberty. Everything else might not be happening, but your testicles are probably growing pretty quick.
Yeah, and that means
like before your very eyes, making a whoop sound if you listen closely.
I knew we would be just like two dumb little kids.
Cuts didn't have any effect.
And this means you're going to be producing testosterone as well, which is going to make you crazy as well. You're going to start to grow quicker in height, yeah. 2 to 3 inches a year. And
one of the reasons why, Chuck, is because that testosterone that's being produced. So basically, the gonadotropin-releasing hormone starts this chain reaction, and it leads down to your testicles.
Yeah.
And it basically says, start producing testosterone. And then that floods the body and has all sorts of crazy effects. But one of them is your bone cells have testosterone receptors, and they grow in the presence of testosterone. So all of a sudden, they're being flooded with testosterone, which is why you grow so quickly, why you undergrow growth spurts. It's because of the testosterone having that impact on your bones.
Awesome.
And muscles.
And finally, in stage two, those fine pubic hairs are going to start, as my gym teacher said, to become coarse and curly and darker. You're going to get more erections more frequently. And your body is just going to start to become a little leaner. You're going to start to look a little more like an adult.
Like a tiny adult.
Yeah, which is funny. You know, by the end of the fifth stage, they said, at this point, you look like a man. Your shoulders are broad, but you know, you look back on your high school pictures and you're like, I look like a little baby. Right. Like, I didn't start looking like a man until I was in my 30s.
Right. But compared to like your six-year-old self.
Exactly.
You resemble the male physique more than before.
Absolutely. Third stage of puberty for boys is going to be 13 or 14. Your pubic hair is going to get even darker and more full.
It's always about the pubic hair.
Well, it's a big change, you know.
Well, it's part of the Tanner scale. That's why it's so, sure. It's very recognizable.
That's right. That's why it's on the poster in Olive Garden. your penis at this point is going to start to grow in length. And of course, all the while your testicles are still growing, you're getting more and more erections. And your height is going to grow at about 3 inches per year at this point. Then your voice is going to start cracking, which is super interesting. I know you dug up exactly what's going on there.
With your voice cracking?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So remember, testosterone makes stuff grow, basically. And one of the things that it makes grow is your vocal cords, right?
Yes.
Which are basically two cartilaginous bands that go over your trachea, your windpipe.
Yeah.
So that when air passes through your lungs, past the your vocal cords, it makes them vibrate.
Yeah.
And that vibration is what your voice is. It creates your voice. When you're a younger kid and your vocal cords are still small, they can vibrate a really fast frequency, like say 200 vibrations per second.
Yeah, because they're smaller.
Right. But as they grow in the presence of testosterone, they grow bigger and thicker. They can't vibrate quite as fast. So they might go down to like 130 vibrations a second. Well, that's a lower frequency, which eventually leads to a deeper voice.
Yeah, it's like a guitar string. The thicker guitar string is lower.
Perfect analogy. That's yeah. Exactly right, right? Another thing that happens, which creeps me out to no end, but it's part of it, is your voice box, that part of the top of your trachea that holds your vocal cords, grows in size.
Yeah.
And tilts forward.
Yeah.
And my friend, you have an Adam's apple after that.
Yeah, not always. Well, I mean, some are more prominent than others.
Yeah, no, it depends on like the shape and structure of your neck.
Sure.
But even if you can't see it, if you just kind of rub your finger up yeah. and down from your chin to your chest,
it's in there.
You're going to feel your Adam's apple.
I'm and feeling mine is, right now, buddy.
Oh, it's so creepy. To me, it's kind of like it produces the same emotional state as thinking about peeling a fingernail back.
Ah,
yeah.
Really?
That's what Adam's apples do to me.
Interesting.
Like just the thought of my Adam's apple.
That's
I don't
so
even
weird.
Like to touch it, but I can't stop. It's so odd.
Wow, that is odd.
Yeah. But anyway, that's your Adam's apple. And that's why your voice changes. It goes from growing from very small to growing large and
yeah.
it deepens. One of the other things too, Chuck.
I thought this one was really cool.
The testosterone in your skull.
Yeah, the facial bones.
Yeah. So, you know, testosterone causes your bones to grow.
Mm-hmm.
That includes your facial bones as well. And as they grow, your sinuses grow. So that means that there's more empty space for your voice to resonate in, which also makes it deeper.
Yeah, and they don't know evolutionarily exactly why, but the theory is, which makes perfect sense to me, is that one, to attract women or to intimidate other men with that deep voice.
Right, yeah.
Or just a signal, I've arrived. Don't you hear my voice?
Yeah, which sounds totally different. Then when you say, I've arrived.
Right.
Don't you hear my voice?
Yeah. And they go, you haven't arrived.
Right.
So that's in stage three. Stage four, around 14 or 15, you're going to start getting that armpit hair. You're going to start maybe getting a little facial hair, although I didn't get facial hair until quite a bit later.
Man, I don't even remember when I got it.
I wasn't shaving in high
now
school.
Now I can't get rid of it.
I know. Look at me. I look like Fidel Castro.
Especially when you wear that hat.
The Castro hat?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. Your pubic hair is going to get more coarse. Your voice is going to drop even deeper. And you're going to start to get acne.
Yeah.
Which is really sad.
Well, that's part of the result of sebum.
Yeah, we did a great podcast on acne.
Yeah, we did.
And I looked this up even. September 2011.
The Comedo, which is Latin for worm. That's the stuff that you squeeze out of the center.
Yeah, I mean, should we just cover what acne is real quick?
It's sure.
That buildup of sebum, that oil, which is necessary.
It waterproofs your skin.
Yeah, but you overproduce it during puberty.
Yeah, plus you're also sloughing off skin cells at a crazy rate.
Yeah, that's a recipe for disaster.
All of those things are trying to exit through pores and hair follicles,
mm-hmm.
and they can't always make it. So when it gets built up, it blocks. It goes through the Three Stooges syndrome of trying to get through the door at the same time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then certain types of bacteria, acne bacteria, come in and infect it, and it swells, and then you have a pimple.
That's right.
That's all there is to it. It's fine. And Tom actually goes to the trouble of providing some advice on what to do with it. And it's great advice because you think you might want to scrub it to death and use every super drying product you can find.
Yeah, with a scouring pad.
That's the exact opposite of what you want to do.
Yeah, because that can make it worse.
You want to gently wash your face or your shoulders or your back or whatever.
Yeah.
Or everything. A couple of times a day, keep it clean.
Which is a problem because young boys aren't known for loving showers at this point.
No. But if this is a thing to you and it's bothering you, then go to the trouble of doing something about it.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple and straightforward. Just wash your face gently with just lightly.
Yeah.
A couple of times a day and that's it. And don't overdo it because that just irritates it even more. It makes your face so mad.
Yeah, that showering thing is so funny to me. You know, our buddy Mark Farley.
Uh-huh.
From the TV show, played Clint Kinkenbeard.
Kinkenbeard.
Said that he had a Facebook post the other day about trying to get his son to take a shower. Was just like marching him to the, you know, to the firing squad or something.
Yeah.
And I remember that age where it was like, no, I don't want to take a shower.
I don't want to do anything.
But now, like, the shower is the best part of the day, you know?
Yeah. It's nice. I still hate taking showers.
Really?
The process of it, I'm like, ugh, I'd rather be doing anything else.
Oh, I love
it. But then afterward, I'm like, man, I love showers.
Interesting.
It's just like going to the trouble of taking it. It's just bothersome to me.
Well, sometimes I'll do that, have that thing where I just don't want to be wet.
Yeah, that's another one too.
So I won't
shower. Or in the wintertime, you don't want to be, you know you're going to be cold afterward, and that stinks.
Yeah, good point. And at the end of stage four, your penis at this point will start to grow thicker and continue to grow longer. But again, guys, this isn't happening at the rate that you would like. Don't worry about it. Just hang in there.
Just hang in there.
You'll be okay.
You'll be fine. People have been doing this for hundreds of thousands of years.
That's right. And finally, stage five, 14 to 18, you're going to grow most of your height at this point.
Yeah.
Although you might grow in your 20s a little bit, but probably not.
This is where you're growing the fastest. You are growing several inches a year, basically, whereas up to this point you're growing two to three. Now you're growing up to maybe 5 inches in a year.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's quick growth.
Yeah, and that's like when I see my nephew now. He's like 6'1".
He is so tall.
It's so weird.
Yeah. He's not weird.
Oh, no. It's weird to see your nephew, like, taller than you.
Right.
All of a sudden.
Just want to make sure we clarified that.
Oh, he knows he's not weird.
Okay, good.
Your shoulders are going to be broader at this point. Your muscles are going to be more fully developed. You're going to have new muscle fibers. Everything is basically just getting thicker on your body.
Yeah.
They call it filling out, I think.
Again, that's because of testosterone and all of these other hormones that you are producing. You were producing them mainly at night while you slept before, which is significant that it's released from the hypothalamus because the hypothalamus also regulates sleep.
Right.
So while you're sleeping, the hypothalamus is like, I guess I'll keep myself busy by having some of these new hormones produced.
Exactly.
As you go further along in the stages of puberty, you actually are producing them all the time.
Right.
And in vast quantities. So that would account for your muscles growing bigger and your skeleton growing faster than ever and all this hair coming out everywhere and growing coarse and everything, you know?
Well, and that's since you mentioned it, I wasn't going to bring it up, but your pubic hair in stage five is going to start to creep all over your body. It's going to be in your inner thighs and creeping up your stomach.
Yep.
You might get chest hair, and you're just wondering what in the world is happening to me.
Yeah.
So those are the stages, and right after this, we will come back with more on puberty, but not on pubic hair.
No, we've got more on pubic hair.
More on both.
Stuff you should know. Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Chuck, I've got a little more on pubic hair.
Okay, as promised.
It's kind of an evolutionary mystery to why we have it. Because if you think about it, it doesn't really do a whole lot for guys. It doesn't protect anything. It doesn't keep vital stuff warm.
Oh, it doesn't?
Not really.
Okay, I thought it would warm stuff up.
No, it's like, no, not really.
Okay.
Not enough to explain, like, why it's concentrated where it's concentrated mostly. You know what I mean? So they think probably what's going on is, number one, it's an outward, overt signal that this person has gone through puberty and is capable of sexual reproduction. Therefore, he is a viable mate.
Right.
That's one thing. That especially was a big signal when we weren't wearing clothes back in the day.
Yeah.
All right. And then secondly, they think also that it is a transmitter of pheromones.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, that when you enter puberty and you start to grow armpit hair and pubic hair and just hair everywhere, you also start to open up a new type of sweat gland, apocrine sweat gland.
Yeah.
Whereas before, you just smelled like a little angel because you didn't stink because you weren't producing weird types of sweat.
Yeah.
Once you go through gonadarchy, all of a sudden you start to stink.
Yeah, you start to get the little body odor here and there.
Right, and even though you don't want to take a shower, everyone else wants you to take a shower. So just go take a shower.
Yeah.
Because you stink.
Stinky little teenager.
Right, and one of the things that's making you stink is this new sweat with these new hormones that are coming out. But also, supposedly, you're producing pheromones as well. And these, it's never been proven that humans are capable of sensing pheromones on other people. They think that there's a pretty high likelihood that we do, and they think that pubic hair and armpit hair serve as just basically big neon signs for these odor molecules that we're not necessarily capable of sensing.
Gotcha. So thank you for that, for giving us body odor. All right, so your body is growing like crazy, growing like a weed, as they say.
Yeah.
You are probably going to start growing taller than girls in your class, who were probably taller than you before that, because girls typically will grow height earlier than boys will.
Right.
I remember lots of girls that were taller than me through most of my elementary school.
Yeah.
But don't worry, guys. You will catch up.
And don't worry, girls.
Yeah, because it's awkward for a girl sometimes to be taller than a boy because of all these weird societal norms. You know, societal norms that are not only weird but wrong, of course.
Yeah.
when you're an adult, you realize it really doesn't matter.
When you are going through puberty, it is the exact opposite of realizing that it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it seems like it matters a whole lot.
Yeah. That is not the case in reality, however.
Right.
It's just what you're going through.
That's right.
Hang in there.
You're also going to be gaining weight, between 15 and 65 pounds through puberty. Your extremities are going to grow like crazy. That's why teenage boys have these big clunky feet and these unwieldy hands, and they don't know how to operate any of them.
Right. That's why there's like this associated clumsiness with puberty. It's a real thing.
Oh, totally.
It's not just this, character sketch that people use for humor. Like pubescent boys and girls are, clumsier than any other point in their life because their hands and feet are bigger than the rest of their body.
Oh, yeah.
That, and then also, if you ask a psychologist why they're clumsy, they will say that in addition to learning how to use these new bigger hands and feet and deal with them, you're also acutely aware you're going through the most self-conscious phase of your entire life.
Yeah.
So you're suddenly having thoughts like, do I look weird walking?
Yeah.
And when you stop and think about walking while you're walking,
right.
That makes walking really hard. So that contributes to the clumsiness as well.
Yeah. Again, with my nephew Noah, I remember before he was even super tall, I remember seeing these feet one time when I visited, and I was just like, what in the world is going on down there, buddy?
He's like,
what?
Oh, no. What do you mean?
Yeah, he just had these huge, huge feet. And then the body catches up, and then you lose that clumsiness. And you're like, okay, everything's all proportioned now.
Yeah.
Your chin is going to get a little longer. Your face is changing shape. Your nose thickens up. And these are just like the physical changes. There's things going on inside your body as well.
Yeah, apparently your blood pressure increases.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. Your metabolism decreases some. So you're going to start to put on a little more weight.
We already talked about you're going to start getting a little more stinky. And this is all like the normal course of things. If you start going through puberty too young, that can be a problem. Like if you're super young and going through puberty, you might want to see a doctor because this could mean things, problems later in life.
It's called precocious pubescence.
Archie?
No.
No,
but it can be caused by everything from a tumor to, well, a tumor.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a medical problem, but this article suggests that if you do, and the Mayo Clinic did too.
Really?
That if you have a really young kid that's starting to show signs of puberty, you might want to just point it out to a doctor and see what they say.
Right. I wonder what age is. If 9 is early, then anything before 9?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would guess so.
Another thing that's going to happen with your erections is you might have wet dreams.
Nocturnal emissions.
That's right.
And wet dreams apparently is like a very common term.
Sure.
They used it in that 1950s educational film.
Oh, yeah. I remember them saying that in my health class.
It sounds like a sequel to Porky's or something, though, you know?
Porky's 2, Wet Dreams?
Like, yeah. Nocturnal emissions is, I mean, it just makes sense.
That's right. And that's when
that's gym class stuff right there.
Yeah. That means you're asleep, you have a dream that's sexual in nature, and... if it's a full wet dream, that means you ejaculate in your sleep. And,
right.
The first time that happens and you're a little boy, you have no idea what's going on. You just wake up and you're like, what in the world just happened?
Right.
But nothing to be ashamed of. Hopefully your parents are talking to you about this stuff. All very normal part of the process.
Yes. Just quietly take the sheets off your bed and tell your parents that you've decided to start doing your own laundry from now on.
Exactly. Well, I was a late bedwetter, though, so I didn't know what the heck was going on.
Oh, yeah?
I was just leaking fluids at night. I had no idea what to do.
That's fantastic.
And then erections, you're going to get erections when the wind blows. You might get erections in the boys' locker room.
Yeah.
And they said that is not a indicator of sexual preference.
Yes.
It is also a very normal thing that happens.
Pretty much anything can do that to you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, don't worry about that kind of thing. Again, you really should not base your worldview and your ideas about what life is going to be like on the period of puberty. because it is the weirdest time of your entire life.
That's right.
And not just yours either, of all of your friends, of your teachers,
your parents,
eventually your little brother or sisters, your parents, everybody. Everybody, the weirdest time in their life is puberty. It's just a really odd experience.
All right. You want to take another break?
Why not, man?
All right. And we'll talk about these puberty hormones when we come back.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Chuck, we talked about that little time bomb of a hypothalamus holding the gonadotropin-releasing hormone.
Yeah.
And it's just waiting for the GPR54 to come along.
That's right.
And trigger its release. And the GnRH, the gonadotropin-releasing hormone, makes its way to the pituitary gland, which is a little pea-sized gland that I think it was Descartes thought where the soul resided.
Yeah, I think so.
He turned out to be wrong, but that does actually trigger the production of two other important hormones, right? Luteinizing hormone and follicle stimulating hormone. And these two things are they're kind of like the chemical messengers that go down to the gonads, the testicles, and say, start growing, start producing testosterone and sperm.
That's right. This is the process by which you become able to reproduce.
This is the process by which you grow a mustache.
That's right. FSH, when it reaches those testicles.
And that's follicle stimulating hormone.
That is going to cause the growth of what are called seminiferous tubules. And those are the tubes, basically, where the sperm is produced.
Right.
And all this stuff is in your body again. It's just like it's waiting on the go sign.
Exactly.
You know? It's like this boy needs to become a man.
Right. We're just waiting for the signal.
And it's going to take 6 to 8 years and then another 30 to 40 years after that.
Right. So with the luteinizing hormone, that goes to the testes and it says, hey, there's these things called Leydig cells, and they produce androgens, which are hormones that basically help your development as well, including testosterone. They say, start producing this. So these two things go down, and you start producing sperm and testosterone as a result. And the sperm seeks its way out in any way, shape, or form it can, whether you like it or not.
Right.
And then the testosterone just spreads throughout the body. And again, it does everything from making your the bones in your face grow, to making your voice crack like Peter Brady, to making you grow a foot in a couple of years.
Yeah.
To growing a mustache.
That's right. Not ironically either. Because when you did it when you were 13, you were super cool.
You know who is like the best example of a pubescent boy on television, I think? Do you ever watch King of the Hill?
Oh, sure.
Remember Joseph?
I don't remember Joseph. Was he the neighbor?
He was Dale's son, but really it was John Redcorn's son.
Yeah, the neighbor.
Bobby's friend, Joseph. He was awesome when he started to go through puberty. He had like that little mustache. He'd get mad for reasons he couldn't explain. And just perfect. He was great.
I was a big fan of Bobby too, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, here's another cool thing. We talk a lot about the physiological things that happen, the body actually physically growing.
Right.
But there's also the mind and psychological changes that happen. And your brain is developing in such a way that, and it's really, really neat. You're going to start having interest in things that you never thought you had interest in before. Not just like riding the bike down to the creek and teasing the girls. You can start thinking about life and
why some people are poor and other people are rich.
Yeah, or politics.
Why that's okay. All sorts of like kind of deep stuff all of a sudden now attracts your attention.
Yeah, and you are going to start kind of thinking about life beyond the 3 feet in front of your face.
Right, or summer vacation.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, although summer vacation still rules for a while.
Yeah, that's true.
No need to discount that.
No. But you're going to start thinking about, like, maybe what do I want to do with my life? And what kind of career do I want?
Yeah.
Where do I want to go to college? Like, these things naturally just start popping up in your head. And with that comes a lot of anxiety because I've never thought about what my place is in the world.
Right. Well, what if I don't end up being rich? What will become of me then?
Yeah, so you're going to be confused. You're going to be anxious.
You're also going to find that you're attracted to other people.
Yeah. That's when those first seeds are planted.
And that causes anxiety in and of itself, too.
Yeah. Do they like me? Am I good looking? What is good looking?
Do I look dumb walking right now?
Right. What is walking?
Is my stash coming in thick enough?
What is a stash?
Yeah. And you jest, but it's true. Like when your brain is bathed in androgens for the first time, they find that not only does it restructure and reorganize the way you think, which is why all of a sudden you're starting to think about deeper stuff and into the future and everything, but also the way it worked already changes. So this reward pathway that used to get you to go eat more blow pops because they're so great, all of a sudden is now concentrating on finding a date.
Right.
So your what you place value on changes.
Yeah.
And that's because your brain is literally saying, like, go do this because this is going to feel great.
Yeah, I definitely remember when self-awareness sort of kicked in. You know, when you didn't just walk by a mirror, all of a sudden you looked at it. And you're like, well, this is what I look like. Am I handsome?
Yeah.
Do I look funny?
Yeah.
I'm just kind of short. Is that a bad thing? It's self-awareness is the best way to describe it.
And as a result of this, depression can set in.
Sure.
There is such thing as pubescent depression, which.
Yeah.
And it is in many ways is a very natural result of starting to question things and realizing you don't have all the answers.
Sure.
And it's just things getting more complex.
Yeah. That's why it's very important for parents to have a good line of communication as possible, but it's going to be even more difficult because there may be a possibility that your pubescent boy doesn't want anything to do with you at this point.
Yeah, there may be a chance that that's the case.
Well, not always, though. Or my nephew again. I hate to keep picking on him, but he's super close to my brother and my sister-in-law, and, you know, they have a great relationship. But I'm sure there's still some bit of that teenage stuff.
And that's a good thing to have, too, for the most part, that when the boy strikes out on his own or doesn't want to have anything to do with you, or all of a sudden your car's stupid, so drop me off 2 blocks from school.
Yeah.
That shows signs of like them forming an independent spirit or whatever.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You should encourage that and discourage them being little jerks, though.
Like, well, that's another thing.
You gotta walk that fine line.
Right. So as a parent of a pubescent boy, you have to give leeway, but you also have to like curtail behavior that's problematic.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And we mentioned depression earlier. Of course, keep an eye on that kind of stuff. And there's nothing wrong with having your young boy or girl go get like talk to a counselor or something.
Yeah,
doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. It just means you may need a little outside help. No shame.
No. And Chuck, we should say, because somebody will write in to let us know if we don't, what we've just described, the social and psychological development of a person,
mm-hmm.
that's technically adolescence. And adolescence is this whole broad change from childhood to adulthood.
Yeah.
And actually includes puberty as a component.
Right.
So puberty is part of adolescence. But
yeah.
We've been using them kind of interchangeably for the last little bit. But
yeah.
I think it works.
Yeah, I agree. And it can be very trying to raise an adolescent. So hang in there, parents. You went through it too. And before
yeah.
you know it, you'll all be buddies again.
You have it coming to you, basically, for what you did to your parents.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, I think we should finish with some pretty interesting male puberty rites from different cultures.
Yeah, here in America, when you enter puberty and you're a boy, your dad just gives you this kind of awkward punch in the arm and walks away and hopes you don't bring it up ever again. That's the rite of passage for puberty in America.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened to me. If you're Islamic, your parents are going to teach their sons adulthood and basically say that from the time you have your first ejaculation is when you are responsible for your own actions.
Yeah.
I guess you have a little more leeway before that.
Yeah. Makes sense.
If you are Jewish, you might have a bar mitzvah on your 13th birthday.
Well, whether you like it or not, you officially are a bar mitzvah, a son of the commandment.
That's right.
But there new traditions have developed where, like, you
have
do something at the synagogue and then you
sure.
have a party afterward. But you're just automatically on your 13th birthday bar mitzvahed.
That's right. Have you do you watch Saturday Night Live? Have you ever seen Jacob, the bar mitzvah boy?
No.
It's really cute. It's
Is it new?
No, she's been around for a while. It's a woman who, Vanessa Bayer, does it.
Uh-huh.
But she has a little curly wig and a yarmulke and sits down low in the chair. And the whole concept of the skit is that she is this awkward bar mitzvah boy who can only read, like, a prepared speech.
Right.
And so they'll ask her questions, and she'll just kind of bat her eyes and then start reading from her prepared speech again. And she's like a New Yorker and is really very cute and funny.
That is cute. So, Chuck, you know we did a pretty good episode on circumcision.
Yeah.
A male circumcision. We didn't do female circumcision yet.
Not yet.
But in that episode, we talked mostly about Western circumcision, but in a lot of cultures, including Malaysia and some parts of South Africa, circumcision is part of the ritual of entering puberty.
Yeah.
So you'll be circumcised when you're like 11, 12, 13.
Right.
And it might be part of a larger ceremony as well, like Aborigines in Australia perform circumcision at puberty, but it's also paired with what's called a walkabout.
Yeah, when they're sent out to walk, right?
Basically, they're like, you go away from us and go learn to hunt and survive on your own. But first, we have to do something to you.
Yeah, well, they also have, and I was trying to find out how if this is still done with great regularity, but they also, the Aborigines, practice male birth control rituals. So after circumcision, they will pierce a hole through the base of the penis,
mm-hmm.
put a splinter in there to keep that hole open. So basically, you urinate and ejaculate not through the end of your penis, but through this hole, which makes it really hard to reproduce.
Oh, yeah, I gotcha.
And
that, I imagine, does make it hard to reproduce.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is like what the modern Aborigines do or if it's just an ancient custom.
It's like their one-child policy.
Oh, well, maybe so.
I guess then when you pull the splinter out, it heals up enough to restore reproductiveness?
Well, no, the splinter is pulled out and there's a permanent hole there.
So then how do you reproduce?
Well, you plug it up with your finger, I think.
Compared to that, I'm sure if you're a Pueblo boy, you're like, oh, I just have to take an ice bath. Let's do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is one of their rituals.
There's a tribe called the Etoro tribe of Papua New Guinea. And they have forced homosexuality as part of the rites of passage for a boy. What you essentially do is a boy is paired with an elder man, and they ingest semen. And that is part of the ritual to become a man from a boy with this tribe.
So they just drink. There's no sexual act. There's just drinking of sperm.
Oh no, it's with a sexual act. And then later on, you are paired as a man with another boy. And that is, I mean, it's a tribe of like 1,300 people in Papua New Guinea.
Huh.
And they become a mentor. They believe that in the semen is your most concentrated life force. So that is passed along to a boy.
I had not heard that one either.
There's a tribe in East Africa where they shave the boy's head and then cut them to the bone on their forehead, three deep horizontal cuts, and they have a scar called a gar, mm-hmm. and it's a symbol of manhood.
Huh.
Lying on ant beds, the Luceno Indian tribe, when you become a man, you are to complete the ceremonial act of laying on an ant bed and being, you know, bitten and stung by ants without reacting. You just have to keep like a stone face.
Wow.
And that's one of their rituals. And they also are given a hallucinogenic drug called...
to exacerbate it or make it better, you think?
No, this is afterward, I think.
Okay.
Called a Tolo Kahi. And that's supposed to help them see visions. I guess it's kind of similar to the vision quest
sure.
of the Native American.
Yeah. Which is the thing, too.
Yeah, so those are some of the more interesting ones, thanks to Cracked Magazine. And
yeah, remember, I gave up cultural relativism in some respects.
Yeah.
But I also, it's not really, I don't feel like it's my role or position to persuade other people to feel one way or the other about something. It's up to the individual.
I hear you. I got one more. The M-A-T-I-S, the Matisse or Mattis Hunting Trials. This tribe, it's a Brazilian tribe. When they send their boys out to become men and hunt for the first time, they put a bitter poison in their eyes that's supposed to improve their vision and enhance their senses. And if that wasn't enough, there's a series of beatings and whippings that take place to make you a man. And then at the end of that, they burn an area of your skin and put this ground-up frog goop in with a wooden needle, and it's a poison that's supposed to increase your strength and endurance.
Huh. So I guess that Western American, like, light punch to the arm
we
is
got
like
it pretty good.
Symbolism of all this other stuff.
I'll take that,
but
my friend.
It's true. Boys are treated roughly and definitely more rougher than girls are yeah. around the world.
Absolutely. Although I saw some of the girls' puberty rituals, and some of those aren't pretty either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we need to cover that.
Absolutely.
We need to do female circumcision and female puberty, I guess.
Agreed.
Those will be coming right up, I'm sure. if you want to know more about male puberty, you can type those words in the search bar at howstuffworks.com. And since I said search bar, it's time for listener mail.
I'm going to call this coincidence. We get a lot of these where people experience coincidences related to what they're listening to.
Mm-hmm.
And this is from Andrew in Ohio. He said, on December 13th, I was on the way home from work. And as I do every morning, on the way to work, I load you guys up on my phone and I'm taken to some learning adventure. Today's adventure was how broken bones work. So I'm listening and thinking, you guys start talking about it. You've never broken a bone before. And I start thinking, neither have I. And you guys both say, knock on wood. Exactly. And I think, I don't need to knock wood. It won't happen to me. I get to work, still listening, walking toward the back of my, walking toward the back with a box in my hand. And I trip on the carpet, fall, and punch the ground with my right hand.
Yeah.
He broke his pinky bone clean in two, sort of where the palm of the hand is, like the bone just below the pinky. And he sent me a picture, and it was just snapped like a twig. And the break was so bad, I had to have surgery to put two screws and a plate in to hold the bone together as it healed. As of now, I'm pretty much healed up. I've lost some feeling in the pinky, some range of motion, but I can say I've got a titanium plate in my hand, so I feel like it's a trade-off. Forget Iron Man, I am Titanium Plate Hand Man, which he says is a working name. So he said, thanks a lot, guys, if you happen to read this. Please shout out to my fiance, Allie Spence. We're getting married in June 20th, and I couldn't be more excited. So that is Andrew Hall of Wooster, Ohio. So congratulations, Allie and Andrew.
Yeah, congratulations, guys.
Watch where you're going, buddy.
Yeah, and don't tempt fate, man.
Nope.
I don't need to knock wood. Look what happens.
Knock wood.
If you want to let us know how superstition bit you, we want to hear about it. You can tweet to us at SYSK Podcast. You can join us on Facebook.com/StuffYouShouldKnow. You can send us an email to StuffPodcast@HowStuffWorks.com. And as always, join us at our home on the web, StuffYouShouldKnow.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. That's right.